We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper.
Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This episode of the Eurostep is brought to you by Indochino, Harry's, and Roman. I'm here with Rohan Kadi. As always, we are going to break down the Bucks losing Chris Middleton, how they're going to make up for that in the meantime while he's out for a little while, and then later talk about the Bucks-Bulls game on Thursday night, tonight as we're recording, probably yesterday as you hear this, with good friend of the podcast, Jason Pat. But first, I just want to talk a little bit about Indochino. I don't know, Rohan, you must have watched the draft, right? Are you a draft watcher?
I did watch the draft.
I don't know if you'll remember this or not. Feel free to be honest, but do you remember RJ Barrett's pink suit? It was very distinctive.
Oh, yes, I do.
So that suit is actually an Indochino suit. Indochino, if you don't know, somehow, I know Rohan knows, but Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more. And everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. And if they can get RJ Barrett in the right fitting clothes, they can get you. It's a lot easier to get you or I in a suit than it is RJ Barrett. Those dimensions are pretty unusual. So I feel confident they can get your fit down. Speaking of RJ, who's balling out for the Knicks right now, shout out to him. His brand new collection with Indochino just dropped, and it features limited edition fabrics and jacket linings he helped pick out and design. Indochino's process is simple. You choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom. Maybe you'll even see RJ Barrett there. Or do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. And right now, you, yes you, dear listener, can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout, and shipping is free. What a deal. Indochino.com, promo code BLUEWIRE for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. It's an incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothes that don't fit. Speaking of excuses, Rohan, the Bucks. That was a clumsy segue. It doesn't really make sense. I was going to do something about the Bucks have no excuse for not being prepared for Chris Middleton to miss time, but they probably do. I mean, it's a pretty unexpected thing, but we found out the leg injury that Chris Middleton left the Thunder game with, that I think everyone hoped was no big deal, a sort of a contusion, it's a pretty big deal of a contusion. I'm still seeing it called that, if called anything, but supposedly going to sideline Chris for 2 to 4 weeks, although it shouldn't be something that has serious repercussions after this. First here, before we get into trying to replace such an important player, what were your thoughts when you heard the updated diagnosis on Chris?
When I saw the 3 to 4 week diagnosis, I was a little confused because it didn't seem like in real time that it was going to be such a bad injury, because it was a knee to the thigh. But as soon as Chris came out of that play, you could tell that he was not okay. And I don't know, it seemed a little long for me, but it's better safe than sorry, especially when it's this early in the season and you need to be preparing for a long stretch run in the spring.
Yeah, I agree, and especially, I don't know how much of a role this played into it, but the Bucks really do have a cupcake schedule over the next month or so after a really hard opening schedule with a lot of games on the road, a lot of games in the West Coast. I mean, I think their toughest two games through the end of November are home against the Jazz and at Indiana. So, I mean, both of those, certainly games you could see the Bucks losing. I mean, they've lost to worse teams, but neither of them are like, oh goodness, like this is awful, this is really tough. And I think the Utah game, I just feel like the Bucks are going to win that. I don't think Giannis wants to get swept by Rudy Gobert this season. So I think that, although I don't think that anyone in the Bucks was like, well, we would have him play, but the schedule is easy, so we might as well sit out. Like, I don't think that goes into it. I just think it happened to work out pretty nicely for Milwaukee.
Yeah, it couldn't have happened at a better time. Like you said, it's a pretty easy schedule down this stretch, and it's just better for him to get the proper recovery so there's no lingering effects later in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, you know, at the first thing you think when you hear about this Chris Middleton thing is, oh, that sucks for Chris, who's still doing his 12 days of Christmas celebration, or I think is it 12
yes,
days of Christmas?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I love Chris
it
Middleton
is.
But
I know he's such a great figure in the community.
He is. He's giving through the pain, and that's truly admirable. Probably even more so than playing through the pain, although hardcore basketball fans might disagree with me on that. Regardless, after you think, oh, that sucks for Chris, you think, how are the Bucks going to get by without him? A lot of people disagree on how good Chris Middleton is. There's a whole Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon thing that's going around that I'm not ready to talk about yet without blowing my top.
We don't have to.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna move past it for now at least. But how can the Bucks replace his production on this team, his load? I mean, the obvious answer is they can't 1-to-1. Like, there's no one guy who can step in. It's gonna be a team effort, and we'll talk about that in a little bit of detail. The other guys who need to step up and who thankfully certainly did step up in this Bulls game. But let's talk about the guys who actually have to take his spot in the starting lineup. We got Dante DiVincenzo, which was a little bit of a surprise to me, at least, for this game here on Thursday. Who did you expect to get the start, Rohan, and who did you want to get the start? I'm guessing those could be different answers.
I was really shocked to see that Dante was in the starting lineup. I was expecting and hoping to see Sterling Brown in the lineup because he, over the last couple games, he had just been balling out. He's always seems to be making the right play, most of the time at least. And he can score at three levels. He can play physical play. He can get his own shot. I was really expecting Sterling. Dante was fourth on my list. I don't know if you have like a list or something.
Well, yeah, I talked about having a list. I said I would share my list. And I think I typed it out in DM somewhere. So let's hear your list while I find my list.
Okay, so first, like I said, was Sterling Brown. Next was Ersan Ilyasova.
You had Ersan second?
Yes.
Oh, our first disagreement on the Eurostep. I love it. I had Ersan last.
Really? No.
Of expected or expected or wanted?
Wanted. Because
oh, wow.
Like,
explain this.
I just want him to be weird. Like, it'd be very entertaining, and I feel like it would work well last season. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know they were staggering when they started Giannis, Ersan, and Brook all at the same time. It was... Yeah, they had just an insane net rating. But I wanted to see them go big, go weird, and it would also free up minutes for DJ Wilson to step in. So it would have been better to see Ersan come in. And then after him, I had Pat Connaughton. I don't know how you feel about that one.
I also have Pat third on my list. I think Pat's just extremely solid. We've talked about this already. I still think he's playing a lot smarter, especially defensively, not jumping at everything this year. And my, not really, but my like joking play of the game, the real one is one of the 1,000 great things Giannis did. But Pat, so Giannis, Pat, and a Bulls play, I don't remember who, get tied up, and somebody falls over. I think the Bulls guy, and like Giannis kind of stumbles. And the, no, there's no foul called, but Pat like reaches up and tries to like say he's the one who did the foul, even though there wasn't a foul. And I was just like, what awareness by Pat to just proactively be like, no, it was me. Do not put a foul on Giannis. It was me. Was there a foul? Oh, there was no foul. Never mind. Like, I just love that play so much.
Yes. No, that was great. I think Pat, like you were saying, I just think he can be like a solid defender. He can move the ball well. He hit some threes today. It was, I don't know. It's just like, he seems like more of a spark plug guy off the bench. And that applies to Dante as well. I just think Pat is better than Dante. Dante was next on my list. He was fourth. It's just, I don't know. They seem better equipped to come off the bench and be like a high energy guy in short spurts. And my last guy was Kyle Korver, just because I don't think he needs to be expending all this energy this early in the season, especially because he's 38 years old and needs rest down the for the rest of the season.
He does, and he's been getting it on back-to-backs, another busy game, busy parts of the schedule, I should say. So my list, I also had Sterling first, and I had a space between. He was my only one in Tier 1. Bad game today against the Bulls. He still, I think he almost got double-digit rebound numbers. Did he get the 10th one at all? No, he stayed at 9.
No, yeah.
But 9 boards, 2 turnovers, 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3. So not a great game from Sterling. None of these guys really played all that well. I think Pat probably had the best overall game. Just a solid 6 points for him and 4 rebounds. No assists. No, 3 assists. Good game from Pat. Pat easily had the best game. Let me put some respect on him. Plus 10 for Pat Connaughton. So good game for him. He won the battle so far. I mean, not really, because Dante got the start, but he's played the best so far. So I had Sterling first. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had Pat third. Sandwiched in between them, I had DJ Wilson.
Ooh, he was that one.
He was my second most wanted option. I don't even know if it would have worked all that well, but one, I just want DJ to play.
Yes.
Just because, like, so here's my issue with DJ Wilson, and not really with him himself, but with the issue of DJ Wilson this season is I cannot sit here and argue with you that DJ would be a great option here. I can't tell you that he's a long-term starter candidate on the Bucks or short-term, because we just have not seen him play. I think he's still at 17 minutes this season total. That is not enough. Like, the Bucks need to find out what some of these young guys are to either boost their value around the league in a potential trade. And again, I'm still firmly on the I can get over the Brogdon thing if those Indiana assets are used for something. If they're not, it becomes tougher for me to stomach, but that's a whole different issue. But you're talking about trades. I mean, these young guys, a lot of them just are not going to have that much value if they don't play. Like, teams are going to, like, they're just, you're not tantalizing anybody with a guy who gets DNPs and just sits on the bench. And that's what DJ is doing right now. And you also don't find out what they can do for later. You know, we don't know exactly what DJ can do. He had some good flashes last year. I would say last year he didn't even play all that much, and this year he's hardly played at all. So more than anything, I just want to see how it looks. But I just think that, like, even when Chris Middleton comes back, the long-term, I think, ceiling of a 2-3-4 that's Middleton, DJ, Giannis could be extraordinarily high if DJ can fit into that, hit his open threes, and guard well. I mean, just the length there. I mean, there's a lot of things to make fun of Jason Kidd for, and I've said this often, but, like, there is a merit to just having a lot of tall guys who can play together. I mean, it raises your floor and your ceiling on defense, and really on offense too, and certainly on the glass. But I just would like to see how he can play with Giannis, how those two can play together at the forward spot. So I just wanted to see that.
Yeah, especially like going back to what you were saying about length. It's just like who's the main competition for the Bucks in the East?
Sixers. Yeah,
and they are extremely massive, so you need to be able to have counters for that. And playing DJ Wilson, and like what I was trying to get at earlier with Ersan, it's the same sort of concept. Yeah. But it's just like you need to go big. You need to be able to match that sort of style.
No, I agree. But I just a quick aside, I think both Philly and Milwaukee should be a little bit more worried about Boston and Toronto than they thought. And maybe Miami, but really Boston and Toronto look quite good. Boston's early season schedule stinks.
Yeah.
And Toronto's got some guys banged up right now. They're gonna maybe have trouble staying healthy. But that Toronto team, I don't know. Both of those teams have a little bit, and then now the Hayward is hurt too. So maybe not that worried. But those teams have showed me flashes I didn't expect
more,
to see. Regardless.
More than we thought. They're still not in Bucks Philly tier, but I'd say they're better than I thought. I'll give them.
Yeah, they've been fun so far, but I don't think Boston's defense is gonna hold up. Anyway, back to my list. So Sterling, DJ, Pat. I had Korver fourth. But it's with a huge asterisk of, like, don't play him 32 minutes. Like, he starts and plays 5 minutes or whatever, and then he plays 11 minutes through the rest of the game. So it's really, he's not functionally taking the Middleton, like, minutes or role in the rotation. He's just starting at maybe ending games out there just for the shooting threat, and he was kind of off in this game as well. Then I had Dante. Then I had Ersan last. Nothing against Ersan, and he is good when he plays with Giannis in another center. The lineups tend to be kind of rough long term when he is asked to kind of play the center if Giannis is out there, or if Giannis isn't especially. But Ersan is good. It's just like I know what Ersan is. He's gonna go hot sometimes, he's gonna go cold sometimes, he's gonna take charges, he's gonna offensive rebound well. It's just like, I've had enough of Ersan. We know what he is. I don't think we need Ersan tryouts. We're well aware of Ersan.
You want to see something new.
I do. I want to experiment with stuff. I want to get a good idea of the whole of every tool in the toolbox before you end up needing to make these tough decisions. Like,
I just want to see him go crazy.
Exactly. And not just going crazy for crazy's sake, but really for the utility of, you know, when you're in the playoffs and you're in a situation, maybe somebody's fouled out, maybe, you know, an adjustment by the other team is just rendered for whatever reason. One of the lineups not useless, but it's not operating well enough. I just want the team to know, and Bud to know and be able to trust in other options besides the, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys that we really know he feels comfortable playing. So it comes down to that for me. That's why I kind of wanted to see. I mean, Sterling first isn't as crazy, but then DJ would just be like, let's see what we can do. Let's see what's out there.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So we now we've broken down the, well, let's break down those guys a little more. I guess we haven't gone through them all. So I would say Pat C had a good game. Not really any other of the quote-unquote replacements did. What are your thoughts going forward on who should start at that? I don't want to say 2 or 3 or whatever spot, just that Chris Middleton spot right now.
Yeah, just like you said, like I was saying, I feel like Sterling would be a good fit. But what I'm noticing that's interesting is that Pat, Dante, and Sterling all played around 20 minutes. Dante had a little more. He had 24. Sterling had 20, though. Pat Connaughton had like 19 and a half minutes. So it seems like Buddy's not, it's not really like who starts is going to get like an insane amount of minutes. It's going to be more of like a replacement by committee, even game to game. It's going to be a lot of like, okay, we're going to have these three guys play a lot of minutes, like not a lot of minutes, but like play a decent amount of minutes each. And so they can all fill up that void without, so you can get the best of every single person without having to burn one of them out and not play another.
Yeah, that doesn't really shock me. That's
no,
kind of what
it's
he
the
did
smart,
with them.
It's the smart thing to do.
I think it is as well. So I guess we're, I don't know. Are we here's a question. Are we arguing about nothing when we ask who should replace him if we think these guys are kind of going to get intermittently staggered anyway?
That's what I was trying to get at. Like, does it really even matter who starts if they're just going to play around the same amount of minutes? It really matters who's closing games.
That's true. That's a good point, Rohan. So I guess the question is then, if the nominal starter doesn't matter, are you concerned with how the minutes shake out game to game? Like, do you want to see some of these other guys get a little bit more than Dante and maybe get the nod starting? Or is it really just a case of like, do you think it matters how this gets distributed?
I don't think it matters too much unless there tends to be like one player is starting to really outperform the others, or one is drastically underperforming. If they're around playing like the same level, like I don't think it'll make it too much of a difference. But like what you were saying with Pat Connaughton, he was definitely like the best one of the bunch. And if he sees his minutes go up for the next game, I would not be shocked.
I wouldn't either. I feel like Pat just is not one who's going to take some of these shots out of the rhythm of the offense like the other two guys will. And I think Dante is the biggest culprit in doing that. But I think Sterling can sometimes do that as well. He won't shoot as much typically. But, I mean, I would be surprised if Pat went 0 for 5 in a game. I just feel like typically, like, he'll get to the rim, although he did all of his shots with threes, so maybe I'm an idiot. But I don't know. I just – Pat just feels like – I don't know if I think he has the upside of either Dante or Sterling, but I think he might be the most consistent. I think there's some value to having that with the starting group and, like, then letting the spark plugs run with the bench guys.
Yeah,
more.
It's a high floor, low ceiling type of deal.
Yeah, exactly. Although, coming into this game, Pat was – oh, wow. He actually led that group in three-point shooting coming in, although he was only shooting 28.6%.
Ah, this is just rough.
The Bucks. Oh, wait, no, I lied.
Oh.
No, I totally lied. My bad. I had it sorted by attempts, not percentage. So Pat was the worst. Dante shot 45% from three going in, which is an unbelievable number to me. And Sterling was shooting 41.7 going in. But this game, I mean, we'll break down this game in detail, like I said, with Mr. Jason Pat soon, very soon. But weird game, and the Bucks just made absolutely no threes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get into that. But going back to, like, what we were talking about with, like, replacement by committee, it seems like we saw that it's going to be a lot of load being distributed to other guys as well, not just replacement. So, like, how do you think that the role of Chris Middleton in terms of creation is going to be distributed going forward?
Well, it sure seems like a whole bunch of it was like Giannis and Bled saying, oh, we got it. And they certainly did. Combined for 69 points in this game. Just a quality figure. But Bledsoe going 12 for 14 from the field. His only misses were threes. He didn't miss a single two. And then Giannis just doing Giannis stuff. 38 points, 16 boards, 4 assists, 5 turnovers. He has to work on that early. But 3 steals and a block as well. Just, and somehow the Bucks got outscored by 4 in Giannis' 35 minutes and still won this game. Again, weird game. But those two guys really put the offense on their shoulders in this one. I mean, no other Bucks scores more than 15. Nobody on the bench scores more than 6. Just those two guys really just said, we'll just do it this time. I don't know if that's sustainable, but it was kind of nice to see.
I actually think it could be sort of sustainable. Like, Giannis is just going to be putting up insane Giannis numbers every night because that's apparently who he is now. But Bledsoe, he's been killing it. 5 straight games scoring 20-plus points, and he seems to have figured out that he's actually really good at getting to the rim. Like, he seems to just realize, like, oh, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, especially when the player guarding him is not, like, that heavy or not that bulky. Bled is just, like, he's like, I don't even need to go past this guy. I can just go through this guy. And since I'm not, like, Giannis, who is just unfairly good at doing that, he doesn't get those BS, to be quite honest, charge calls pretty much ever called. He's really good at the bump and then stop and then put it up and just kind of float it into the hoop. Like, we've talked before about his acceleration and then specifically his deceleration. He's just a nightmare to guard one-on-one when he's got his head down and driving. And that's mostly, I mean, like we said, he missed the 2 threes, but that's mostly all he did. And it was great to see.
Yeah. And one thing that's really been a wrinkle that's sort of, I don't know if this is new or it's just like, we're like seeing it more often, like more often in the offense. Bledsoe is a really good pick and roll passer.
Yes.
Like, it's insanely good. Him and Brook Lopez, these last couple games, have been running so many pick and rolls, and he's finding Brook Lopez for open layups, open dunks, and he's just always making the right pass.
He's more talented, I think, than a lot of Bucks fans might realize, just because I think, one, what sticks in your memory about him is the playoffs, because those are the games that, you know, really matter, and he's obviously had some stinkers there, and just, I don't know. It feels like right now, I think he's maybe the most comfortable I've seen him on the box. I mean, he just really seems to be clicking on all cylinders. And obviously, he had a great season last year. I mean, he really shined. But I did feel like he was a lot better defensively than he was offensively even last year. Mm-hmm. This season, I just think his offense is firing on all cylinders. And it's making a huge difference for the team. You mentioned the streak of 20-point games. That's huge. Bledsoe, I mean, I was actually talking with Adam McGee a bit during this game, mutual friend of ours and chief over at the Win in Six podcast and Behind the Bucks Pass. Well, him and Jordan Tresky, I'll give them both a shout out. But I said he's gonna trick me into trusting him again and believing him again before the playoffs, and I don't know how I feel about that, but right now I am squarely on Team Bledsoe.
Yeah, the one thing that's really been plaguing Bledsoe recently when he has all these issues is confidence. So I think if there's a silver lining to this Chris Middleton injury, it's that Eric Bledsoe finally gets to be very confident. Because he is no longer like the third banana in the offense. He's squarely the second banana.
Yeah, and it feels like that's something that either he has been made to understand or he just kind of intuitively was like, yeah, I need to step up now and carry some of this load, some more of this load. And I wouldn't hate if he was more sort of like that outside of this sample size with Middleton hurt. I mean, I tweeted a few times about this during the game, but I've always been a big proponent in staggering him and Giannis because I feel like they're both guys who they can handle the ball, they can chew up possessions, they can both run pick and rolls, Giannis on either end, Bledsoe specifically as the ball handler. But and they're two of the worst shooters in the rotation, even though Bledsoe had been better before this and Giannis had too. But I just think having him be that aggressive, a little bit dial it back when Giannis and Chris are on the floor with him, but not always. And if you get the ball, by all means, with some space, go drive. But like, why not, instead of having these awful bench lineups, which I know you particularly hate, with none of those guys, why not just let Bledsoe run the show? I mean, hell, Robin Lopez has not been able to shoot. He hasn't been as rangy on defense as I would like, or as his brother was last year at least. But I'm sure Robin Lopez can run a mean pick and roll with just how huge he is. I mean, I just think there's a lot of potential there. I would love to see more commandeering Bledsoe going forward.
Yeah, no, for sure. I completely agree with what you just said. It's just, yeah, confident Bledsoe is very good, Eric Bledsoe. Like, we've seen the matchups where he really shows up, like against the Rockets, when he defends James Harden. He's just like the big matchups he always wakes up for because he knows he's the guy in those situations. And if he can realize he can do that on any given night, that's when it's just going to click.
It is. And it's exciting. It's an exciting thing to think about. And this, I think, is going to be, I always like to look for some certain things during the regular season. I think especially when you know a team can be as good as the Bucks are. You know, like, some things you don't really need to look for. We know what Giannis is. I think largely we know what Chris Middleton is. If Bledsoe takes a step up and really asserts himself, that could be the kind of thing that, if it can carry over to the playoffs, would absolutely change a whole lot for this team. And it would help mask some of the smaller issues in a very real way. So one thing I think it'll be exciting to watch this season is, can Bledsoe keep up being this aggressive, more of a lead dog kind of guy on offense? Because it will matter. I think there's this misconception that because Giannis and Chris are on the team, there's just not room for Bledsoe to do that. I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of great teams with multiple really strong options on offense. I think it's a myth that you can only have one or maybe two guys.
You can't have too many creators.
No.
Yeah. This is a quick aside, but do you think Eric Bledsoe is going to be an all-star this season?
It's true. I think the Chris Middleton injury almost, I don't want to say cements it. He still needs to go out and get it more. But the Bucks are going to be very good. They're going to have some more national TV games. He's going to have the opportunity to continue impressing a lot of people. Right now, his counting stats, they must be terrific. And I think it would be surprising to me if the Bucks didn't get two All-Stars based on how good they are. And again, I just think they're going to have a lot of attention around them. Although still, people still love talking about Boston. The Celtics haven't played well, but it's kind of funny.
They always will.
They certainly will. But I think his defense, I don't know how much it matters, but I think it'll help. But especially with Middleton missing so much of this crucial All-Star time, I think he'll be a focal point of Bucks voting efforts, which will help.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think he's going to be. I think even if Chris Middleton didn't get hurt, I was really thinking that he was going to be an All-Star this season. I am one of the biggest Bledsoe supporters there is. So, I'm fully on the hype train. Eric Bledsoe, All-Star, wherever it is. I forget. Where's the All-Star game?
Is it, are they doing Charlotte now?
No, that was last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I don't know where it is. I never get that excited about the location, until it's Milwaukee, which should be soon.
I was ready to say Bledsoe to blank, but then I forgot what blank was.
Bledsoe to somewhere.
Yes.
That's awesome. So we'll talk about Bledsoe's big night against the Bulls and a lot more Bulls stuff in just a second with Jason Pat. Just real quick before we get him in here, we just have a couple more of our great partners to talk about, including Harry's. Humans have been shaving for thousands of years, and the secret to a great shave has not changed much in that time. The ancient Greeks and the Greek fleek is like when Giannis wears a really nice outfit. But the ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you. That's why Harry's doesn't overcharge you to add gimmicky features to their razors. They focus on delivering what actually matters: sharp, durable blades at a fair price. I actually personally love shaving with Harry's. I have been since before I hosted the Eurostep. The easy glide on their razors is smooth. Harry's is a return to the essential. They provide quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. They can do that because they cut out the middleman. They manufacture blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for more than a century. That means you get incredibly high quality blades at factory direct prices. I've never said blade this much in my life, but Harry's is super convenient. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription, and there's no risk to you for trying them out. You can get a full refund if you don't love your shave. Listeners of the Eurostep can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. You get all of these things: a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and the essential travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today. One thing that's less easy to talk about than blades is erectile dysfunction. It's not easy. Usually men just brush it off or blame themselves, saying things like, "I lost my mojo," "I had a long day at work," or, "Sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. Chris Middleton's going to miss another 3 weeks at least." But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. It's a good place to be. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/bluewire and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete that online visit today by going to getroman.com/bluewire. Again, the online visit, completely free. So is the 2-day shipping. getroman.com/bluewire. Check it out. And now, let's talk more specifically about this game that we just witnessed, that I just deemed the drunk Bucks-Bulls game of 2019. Rohan and I are pleased to be joined by Jason Pat, also on the Blue Wire Network, host the Cash Considerations podcast. Jason, before we get started, is there a specific trade that caused you to go with that name for the podcast?
Probably the Jordan Bell trade. There have been so many. Was it last year? The Bulls literally had like 3 different Cash Considerations trade, but I think it was the Jordan Bell trade. There have been more before that too, but yeah, we just thought it was fitting just for the way the Bulls have operated in recent years.
No, I think it's absolutely great, and I'm just glad that the Bucks have Giannis, so we don't have to have some sort of a podcast name inspired by like the Grievous Vasquez trade or something. So, Jason, you know, we talked a little bit about this game already. Obviously, we've called it drunk. We referenced the fact that the Bucks made as many 3-pointers as Kobe White himself throughout this game. Just let's start off. What was your initial takeaway from during and after this one?
Yeah, drunk, definitely the good way to put it. The Bucks had, 22 turnovers. The Bulls had 20. There were a few just stretches where the ball was just going back and forth. Nobody seemed to have any idea what was going on. I think there were 2 different stretches where the Bucks had, 3 straight turnovers in a row. Kind of helped the Bulls keep in it. You mentioned the 3-point shooting. The Bucks just could not buy an open 3, and the Bulls, I think, made 18 3-pointers. They were making some really tough shots. Some of those Kobe White 3s, he hit that one, I think, in the first half where it was off balance, step back, just some crazy shots. Zach LaVine hit some really tough shots. Overall, the Bulls played hard. The Bucks are obviously a much better team. The Bulls played hard. They were up 7 at one point in the third quarter. They just weren't able to pull the game out in the end. They cut it down to 3 there late, and then Eric Bledsoe had that big basket. The Bulls playing that weird 4-guard lineup. They were going with LaVine, Kobe White, Ryan Arcidiacono, Tomas Satoransky, Lauri Markkanen, because Wendell Carter had fouled out. Otto Porter wasn't playing. So Jim Boylan went with the 4-guard lineup, and Eric Bledsoe, big offensive rebound, and the Bucks killed the glass. So I mean, I can't hate the Bulls' effort in this game. And I know they gave up 70 points in the paint. That'll happen with Giannis, like 47 free throw attempts. That'll happen again. They don't really have many good guys to throw at Giannis to defend him. They don't really have many rim protectors outside of Wendell Carter Jr. So, and the fact that the Bulls, they covered as well. I think it was like an 11.5-point spread. The fact that the Bulls were close, the fact that they didn't give up, and they hit a bunch of threes, I mean, that was good. But on the other hand, it was also kind of disappointing because I feel like the Bucks did not play well at all. They obviously shot terribly from three and all the turnovers. So while the Bucks are obviously the better team, I think the Bulls had a great chance to win this game. And there's, again, just not enough execution on the stretch, which has been a problem for them all season.
Go ahead, Rohan.
No, I was just going to say, it feels like the lack of interior defense sort of cost the Bulls in the second half as the Bucks sort of like realized they could get to the rim at will, especially with Wendell Carter Jr. fouling out there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the team just ran out of centers, and that's not a good thing to have happen against the Bucks, especially Giannis gets rolling. Giannis determined to just not lose this one, you could tell, him and Bledsoe alike. And I think really watching this, one of my key takeaways, that's a weird way to put it, but I just think the team wasn't all the way ready to play without Chris Middleton. I mean, this is a good, I think, first game to be without him for this stretch, because you kind of go, oh wow, I mean, no offense to the Bulls, but not a premier team to be up against, and they really hung in there all the way through with one center and then basically zero centers playing in the game against a team that, I mean, you noted all the paint points. I mean, that's what the Bucks do. They like to also make threes. That just didn't happen for whatever reason. Some good Bulls perimeter defense for sure. I think the Bucks got lazy on a lot of their attempts and a lot of their three-point defense. I mean, certainly some tough shots by the Bulls. I think the Bulls also got a ton of open looks because the Bucks just elected not to close out on a few possessions, which is a little bit maddening. But I think the Bucks kind of, I'm hoping after this game, there's sort of a snap back into it mode in the next game where a couple of guys outside of Bledsoe and Giannis figure, oh, we need to step up, because without Chris Middleton, just to give that steady 20 points on 15 shots or whatever, there's a bit of a hole that needs filling.
Yeah, like Dante DiVincenzo and Sterling Brown, and George Hill didn't play that great today either. Just like they had some really ugly attempts, some ugly turnovers. It was definitely just kind of a ragged game. You could clearly see just how much they missed Middleton there. Was the other ball besides Giannis and Bledsoe, there's no other really ball handlers who were making good decisions. I mean, even they had some bad decisions as well. It's kind of. I think the three-point shooting, it seemed like the missing all those shots almost spooked them on a few occasions. Like, there was one possession where Korver passed up a three to give it to Wesley Matthews in the corner for a three. He didn't take it, and he drove in for, I think he tossed up a bad shot or a turnover. There was a Bledsoe passed up an open three on one possession, tried to drive in to like three guys, turned it over. So it was just definitely kind of a weird game, definitely a feeling out game for the Bucks, it seemed like. I think those are good points. Bledsoe was super impressive, though, besides some of the ugly turnovers. Just, I think it was 12 of 14 shooting, just relentless driving to the basket. I mentioned that the big offensive rebound. Then after that, after LaVine missed a terrible three-pointer, Bledsoe came back and went right at Kobe White, basically another dagger there to put it up seven. So Giannis and Bledsoe were just absolutely incredible in this game, just carrying them. But they definitely will need some more help besides those two guys.
Yeah, I think the turnover where I think it was George Hill or Wes Matthews tried to pass it to Dante, and then Dante just didn't see the ball at all, and they just went out of bounds. I think that's encapsulating of the performance from the replacement wings for Chris Middleton. It was very ugly. They didn't really know. They didn't seem like they knew what they were doing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very obvious. But again, when you got Giannis, can cover up a lot of issues.
That is for sure. Those long arms can cover quite a bit. So I just quickly, I'm just interested in your take here, Jason. Rohan and I agreed. We thought Pat Connaughton played probably the best out of those sort of reserve wings. The Bucks have like four guys kind of in rotation, and one of them is going to need to start while Middleton is out. And probably they're going to see a lot of them kind of shuffle around, as Bud tends to do, even just with their bench spots. What did you think about Connaughton tonight as one of their wing options? There are many kind of similarly tiered, obviously much lower than Chris Middleton tiered wing options.
Yeah, I can't say I have like a great in-depth knowledge of Pat Connaughton's game. I've watched a decent amount of the books. I mean, he hit a couple threes, right? I think he hit like two of the six threes.
He took four shots and made two of them.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a pretty athletic player. Looked like he was like a plus 10 today, pretty solid. I mean he's solid. I was not impressed by DiVincenzo at all, and I feel like he really hasn't gotten that much playing time. I'm not sure how he's done in other games. Like, I haven't followed him that closely. Like I said, Sterling Brown was really ugly. I feel like Connaughton's a solid player. Like, he's pretty athletic. He hustles. He's a decent shooter, I think. And then, so, like, it is kind of tough. I mean, obviously, it's going to take a team, a collective effort. You hope that just, like, on certain nights, like, you get either Connaughton heats up or Brown or George Hill or whatever. Dante does something. Hopefully, just maybe it'll be like a – you're not going to be able to rely on one of those guys every night. So you just hope that one or two of them – steps up on certain nights and other nights maybe a different one does. So it's definitely Middleton, super underrated, has big shoes to fill there.
Yeah, for sure. It's I think you're agreeing with Ty and I here, where Connaughton's sort of like he's a floor raiser, he's kind of consistent. I do have one question for you on the Bulls side. Yes. Of this, is Coby White going to continue to be a flamethrower for the entire season?
Well, Kobe's been like, he's been so hot and cold. It's been crazy because so like the first couple games he was great. He had that Grizzlies game where he had 25 points, 21 in the second half. Then he was absolutely terrible for a while. Then he had one good half against the Lakers. Then he was terrible in the second half. And then he was absolutely awful for another few games. And then obviously last game, but against the Knicks with 7 3-pointers in the fourth quarter, has 27 points, 23 points in that fourth quarter. Tonight, he had 19 points in the first half. Again, was hitting some just ridiculous shots. He finished a layup over Giannis, which I thought was incredible. Like, Kobe's not the strongest guy, the best finisher, but to finish over Giannis, he had everything going for him. But then again, in the second half, we kind of, in that third quarter when the Bucks went on their big run, Kobe started missing some shots. So he did play better in the fourth quarter, had some nice buckets there. He did blow a wide open layup, which was unfortunate, but overall he looked pretty good. I mean, I think it's with him, it's going to be just kind of hot and cold all season. That was kind of what I expected coming in. Just he'll have these games where he comes off the bench and he just makes everything, and then there'll be other stretches where he just can't buy a bucket, where he does stupid stuff. But that's the life of a 19-year-old rookie point guard. Like I said, he's not really a natural point guard at this point, as you notice. I mean, he got up 23 shots in 34 minutes. He loves to shoot the rock. His shot selection isn't always the best, but when he goes through those hot stretches, you can kind of live with that. It's something he'll have to learn with, because ultimately, if the Bulls are going to win games, like, you're going to need better decision-making. That's kind of one of the problems with Zach LaVine. While he can make tough shots a lot, we saw in this game, in the second half, he was 4 of 12 in the second half, was putting up some really ugly shots that kind of helped the Bucks get back in and take their lead. So Coby White, definitely a lot of fun right now. He has these stretches where he's good, he has them when he's bad. Hopefully, as he develops, he gets a more consistent baseline where he's giving quality efforts on a consistent basis while also having some of these just explosion games, which are a lot of fun.
He's certainly
a lot of fun. I couldn't agree more with the kind of hot and cold being the standard for a young point guard, whatever you want to call him, in the NBA. It kind of reminds me of like Colin Sexton being mostly bad for a lot of last year, and then he starts to catch fire later, especially from deep. And now this year, he looks pretty damn good so far, and way better than I expected defensively. I just think sometimes there's this impulse to just decide after 10 games, like, this guy stinks, this guy's good, etc. Especially for a young, and I think point guard more than almost any other position besides maybe center. Yeah. They just need time, and even just seeing the flashes, I feel like, is such a positive that it's enough to give you, I don't know if faith is the right word, but at least some sort of hope that there could be a really good player in Coby White.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, like, these flashes show you that he can get buckets at times. Like, he's probably not going to be a bust. He's, like, not going to bust out. Like, I've been really hard on a guy like Cam Reddish, and I was hard on him in college, and, like, he's been just absolutely awful. I mean, even, like, Darius Garland's really struggled in Cleveland. Like, these guys shooting really poorly. Coby White's had these games where he shot really poorly, but then he's had these games where he looks great. So I feel like at worst, if we're talking about micro, like, the name Ben Gordon has been thrown around a lot as just a microwave, six-man scorer type. Like, if that's, like, what he ends up being, like, I think that's totally fine. Like, obviously, the Bulls are hoping he can be point guard of the future and he can really develop the playmaking stuff. But, like, at worst, if he turns into, like, a microwave Lou Williams, Ben Gordon, obviously Lou Williams is really, really good, but Ben Gordon type scorer off the bench, I mean, you can live with that. You'll take that as long as he's not busting out. Like, there could be way worse picks than ending up with a really good six man off the bench who can really score. But I hope that he'll be better than that. He's obviously so early in his career. Hopefully he gets better and develops the point guard skills and all that. But right now, he's just a lot of fun when he gets going. Just super confident, super, super cool guy. Like, he's really easy to root for. So I'm rooting for him.
We haven't even talked about the hair yet. Yeah, I mean, the hair is phenomenal.
Yeah. It just adds to like the whole like Coby White, just easy to root for, the mystique there. Just when he gets going and the hair's flopping around and he's so fast, it's just a really fun player. So like I said, hopefully he develops and that he's good for a long time for the Bulls.
Yeah, based on my timeline, which again is not the end all be all, but he seems to have earned the respect of Bucks Twitter.
Nice.
he was ordained as a Bucks killer in the first half. He's another random Bucks killer.
Stanley Johnson.
Oh man.
It's almost becoming a deep cut. Stanley Johnson now over in Toronto for some amount of time. At least we'll see. I guess I feel like there's one question, and after this, feel free, Rohan, to let loose anything else you might have, but one question I think we need to ask every guest on the podcast this season, the debate that, you know, ruled the Eastern Conference all summer, which of the two teams on the top is better, Milwaukee or Philly? Jason, please don't pander, or do. What is your answer there on which Eastern Conference team you think is going to reign supreme this season?
I guess we can't count out the Raptors either. They look pretty damn good. Siakam is... I did not expect Siakam to be as good as he was going to be this year. But if we're looking at the Bucks and Sixers, before the season, I was put on the spot on another podcast to pick... Actually, it might have been my own podcast. We were talking about... and I hadn't really thought about it. And I picked the Bucks to win it all just because I'm Greek, so I kind of have some Giannis bias in me. So I was like, oh, I'll just pick the Bucks. I did not like the fact that they gave up Brogdon. I figured they would take a step back in the regular season. But I was just like, it's so wide open. They have Giannis. Like, Middleton's really good. Like, Bledsoe, I know he's had his playoff issues, but he's still pretty good. So I was just like, oh, screw it, I'll pick the Bucks. I don't know if I actually think that now, like in terms of like beating like the Lakers or like Clippers, if those teams are healthy in the finals, but I still would. I think the Bucks will be. The Sixers are weird because like they're obviously very unique with how big they are. Embiid's obviously really good, but I mean they still, Ben Simmons still doesn't shoot at all. We've seen them really have some their turnover problem. Their offense can really bog down late in games. When teams just pack the paint and dare them to shoot, they just don't really have much shooting. I don't love their depth. I know we've seen that happen with the Bucks kind of as well when Giannis gets the paint packed on him, but Giannis is better than Embiid or Simmons. So I guess between those two teams, I would still take probably the Bucks. But I guess you can't count out the Raptors either, and the Celtics apparently are somehow awesome. Like, I don't think they'll keep that up, but I guess they could be thrown in that mix as well. And it's probably, and I guess the Heat have been really good, but I don't think they're this good either. So I'll still stick with the Bucks as my Eastern Conference champ, and I'm not pandering because I picked that before the season.
Good man. Rohan, do you have any other Bulls-related questions here as we get close to wrapping up?
No, I think I'm good here.
Really? I'm shocked you don't want to know more about the Chicago Bulls, the 2019-20 Bulls, Rohan. There's so... No Chandler Hutchinson questions?
I haven't even mentioned how Lauri Markkanen was awful today and how I'm very concerned about him. He's like, if he's actually, he's kind of hurt apparently, but if he's bad, like, I did not think the Bulls were going to make the playoffs this year. A lot of people were talking playoffs for the Bulls. I said they'd come just short. I thought they'd be a lot better. I mean, right now they're 4-8. It's been kind of ugly, especially Lauri Markkanen. And if he's not actually good, that's a huge problem for them. So I guess he was awful tonight. He missed a dunk. I think he tried to dunk on Korver and he blew it. He was just invisible throughout most of the game. So as a Bulls fan, I'm very much hoping he's not as bad as he's shown this year. As a Bucks fan, not that you're actually worried about the Bulls as some up and coming team, given how good the Bucks are, but the Bulls would make it at least more interesting if Lauri Markkanen didn't suck, and right now he sucks, which is unfortunate.
I will give it to the Bulls that they are fun to watch when they're hitting their shots. They are very fun to watch.
Yeah. Which is at least more that I could say that they were, like, last season was just so terrible, and 2 years ago was really bad, too. It's like, I'll take fun to watch and kind of bad. I mean, I guess I would hope that they'll still be there because the bottom of the Eastern Conference is a joke.
Yeah.
And the 30, like, 5 to 37 wins might get you right there, like an 8 seed to get walled by the Bucks in the first round. So if they're right around there, I can take that, especially if they're fun to watch.
Yeah, I think they can get there, but, yeah, you would know more than me.
Yeah, hopefully we can do a first-round preview podcast at some point. That'd be fun.
Let's do it. I hope so.
Let's lock it in right now. I think I'd be just fine with playing the Bulls in the first round this year. Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on here. We both really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to do it anytime. Bulls-Bucks play a bunch more. I think they play, what, again, Monday, right? And then two more times, the fun Central Division. quote-unquote rivalry. It hasn't been much of a rivalry lately, but maybe quote sometime unquote. Soon.
I love the quote-unquote. Yeah. Yeah, you'll have to have maybe have one of us on cash considerations. We'll see. But if you somehow don't already, make sure to follow Jason on Twitter at Bulls_J, J-A-Y. Definitely check out his podcast as well, part of the great and powerful Blue Wire Network. Subscribe to the Eurostep too as well, please, if you haven't already. Make sure to give both pods a rating and review on your podcast platform of choice, if applicable, because it definitely helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about it. That's an old school method of support, but it's still very much valid. If you'd like to join the Euro group, the Eurostep Discord server, all you have to do is tweet a picture of you, a screenshot of you listening to the podcast, and we will hit you with the link to get in there. We talk Bucks every game and kind of throughout the days too, as people get bored at work, quite honestly. Hope my bosses at my day job aren't listening, but I believe that's about all we've got. So until next time, we on the Eurostep bid you adieu and go Bucks.